Welcome, everyone. This is Jeff Cohn with the Wall Street Resource. Joining me is Sagar Govil, CEO of Chemtrex. Good morning, Sagar.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, good. Before we get going, can you just give people a quick overview of the company?
Yes, absolutely. And thanks again for having me. Chemtrex is a holding company, actually. We own and operate various businesses, and those companies generally range from industrial to manufacturing and technology markets. Today, in our portfolio, we have two companies that we own. One of them is a security technology company called Vicon Industries, and the other one is Advanced Industrial Services, which is an industrial contracting firm.
Okay. Do they fit together at all, or are they very disparate?
They're disparate. So we operate these two businesses separately, and that's part of our strategy. We like to grow, and we own and operate different companies just based on the overall opportunity they present to us as the owner of the company. And so, you know, we generally look at any business that we own as an investment, and, you know, in terms of what is the long-term potential of that investment in that business, as you know, in terms of return on equity, and the overall efficiency at which it can produce capital for us.
Okay, and are they roughly about the same size at this point?
Yes, that's right. So you know, we've grown over the last couple of years. So you know, both businesses do about 30 million plus in revenue. So last year we did about 59 million in sales, and it was about an 50, you know, I think Vicon was a little bit larger last year, but this year, you know, it'll be closer to, you know, an even in terms of the split in the mid 60 million range.
Okay.
You know, so it's about 30 million plus each.
And what about the TAM of each? How big of an addressable market?
Well, it's quite large. You know, the security industry, so Vicon, for instance, operates in the enterprise. We don't compete with residential, security like Ring or Nest or anything like that. We focus solely on the enterprise market. And I would say, you know, it's in the tens of billions of dollars just in the United States alone. But the U.S. and, you know, Western Europe is a mature market. And then you get into emerging economies like Southeast Asia or in Africa or other parts of the developing world, South America, where, you know, you have more, you know, greenfield opportunities where there's much larger growth for security. As you know, security is more important than ever around the world. And so, you know, the total addressable market is massive, right? And so, you know, our specialty there is really about providing end-to-end security solutions, video cameras, access control, storage hardware solutions, as well as the software. And the software is really the USP, and that's really the technology we build in-house, and ultimately the core linchpin of our technology.
Okay. And the other division?
The other division is our is AIS, Advanced Industrial Services. And the industrial contracting business in the U.S. Is massive, right? And it ranges from all kinds of services. You know, I can't give you the exact total addressable market, but it's quite large in the I would say probably between 50 and 100 billion, you know, and so it's a very, very massive market. You know, our focus is primarily the United States in terms of where we provide our contracting services, and we focus on a number of disciplines from millwrighting, rigging, electrical work, piping, plumbing, you know, some light fabrication and so forth. And so we service a variety of types of manufacturers and industrial organizations, you know, ranging from food and beverage applications to printing, you know, packaging, all fabrics, you know, manufacturers of, you know, in aerospace and defense industries. So a wide gamut, you know, even heavy machinery manufacturers and so forth. So a wide gamut of, you know, customers that we serve in that market.
Okay, and what makes you stand out and capture business in that market?
So in the industrial services business, you know, there are a number of things that really specialize us. You know, to name a few, you know, AIS is larger and more experienced than many of its competitors in the market. So, you know, we have a stronger balance sheet. We have more equipment, more tooling, better processes. And that's just because we've it's now, you know, more than 40 years. And so, you know, by virtue of that experience, we're able to get the job done right, and get it done right the first time, right? And so we pride ourselves on that level of experience in serving our customers. And so that's really how we go to market, and what our differentiation is in, is just, you know, selling the quality work and, you know, leveraging our whole host of skills and balance sheet. And when we compete, I mean, it's a fragmented market, and so many of our competitors are smaller than us, and so that allows us to sort of flex our muscles a little bit when we go out to compete.
And on the security side, it's your software that makes you stand out?
It's a whole host of things. So I'd say there's probably five things that, you know, our technology or solutions really are unique for us. So one is that, you know, we're an end-to-end solutions provider. So, you know, that means if, you know, you need a solution for your facility, you can, you know, get the entire solution from Vicon. And that makes your life a lot easier because you don't have to worry about, you know, do these components fit together nicely? Are they going to be compatible? You can kind of get the whole system from us, right? And that makes your life easier, from license plate technology, access control, video security, and all of that. We're an open platform, so, you know, we integrate well with other security, you know, other solutions. So if you have fire alarm, you have intercom, you know, if you have other sensors in your building, you know, in many instances, we'll be able to integrate with that. You know, our software is, you know, we support it 24/7, 365. We have some of the best tech support in the industry. And so, you know, and it's New York-based, and we don't charge additionally for security. So, you know, there's a lot of value that we give our customers out of that. And then we also sell ultimately on total cost of ownership. So we try to, you know, ensure that our customers have control over their own software. We don't lock them into long-term contracts. And, you know, we give them a lot of flexibility in terms of how they can leverage and get the most out of their systems. And that's really how we stand out.
And you're selling the hardware too, the cameras, but that's mainly a pass-through. You're not making cameras, is that correct?
No, so we do have specialized cameras for us in our portfolio that are designed to our spec. And so, you know, we don't own a manufacturing plant to actually make the cameras, but we do source the cameras according to what we feel is the best, specs and features to what, you know, we want to serve our customers. And so it is unique for us. And, you know, our plan as we go forward is to continue to make our cameras more and more unique, so that they are more and more proprietary to Vicon, and they're more differentiated in the market. And so, you know, things like servers, there's less differentiation, but we sell Dell servers generally, in most instances. So we're basically a reseller of Dell hardware in that instance. And so, you know, we stand with, you know, all the good features and benefits that Dell offers in the market with respect to that part of our portfolio.
So is there a part of the business, you know, that drove you to get out and tell the story today that you're most excited about, or just overall?
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, folks may have known about Cemtrex in prior years, and I think the story's changed quite a bit, and I think that's why it's always important to get out and tell the story. You know, Cemtrex had owned many other businesses in the past, and we've really honed in on these two as our core, as the businesses that we think are going to drive the most value over the long term. And so that's really where the emphasis has been going for the last couple years. And so that's really what's driving it. And we think both businesses have tremendous opportunity. You know, on the AIS side, we've been growing steadily. You know, margins have been improving. And we also starting to get more acquisitions done in that business. So, you know, we recently completed an acquisition in July of 2023, and that added $10 million in revenue. And so that's been a great benefit to us as it starts to drive and expand the opportunities for us. And really the value there is that we see more opportunity for further acquisitions to grow that as a platform over the next several years and turn it into a larger player in the industry. And so we see continued opportunity there. We're always looking at new acquisition opportunities, and, as those materialize, we'll certainly make announcements. And that's really some of the catalysts that folks can expect to see on that side of our business. On the Vicon side, the security industry is in a, the market is in an exciting place because there's a lot of disruption happening due to AI and cloud. And so that presents really a whole host of opportunities for us, going forward in terms of the potential for the business long term and short term. And so that's really what we're excited about.
So who are your customers? If not by name, then maybe just an example of something that you guys do well.
Yeah, sure. So we, in the security business, our customers are, range quite a bit, but we specialize in border protection, in corrections. We do hospitals, courthouses, a lot of municipal and government buildings. We do, monument buildings, museums, airports. So a whole host of really high-end enterprise-type clients. We also do even like high-rise residential or, retail stores as well. So we do even some smaller things as well. But we really operate in that middle to enterprise market. And so, it really ranges, but a lot of larger organizations generally. And on the industrial side of our business, it's really a wide range of key, manufacturers. Many of our customers were under NDA, so I can't disclose their names, but, they're leading food and beverage companies. They're leading, household names in, engineering companies, as well as, auto manufacturers to, even the U.S. Mint is a client. So, we do have a whole host of different, customers across the board. And many of them are sort of Fortune 500 type organizations, and we continue to serve those customers, throughout the country.
And then how do you reach your customers? What marketing channels?
So, at Vicon, we sell through a channel, actually. So we sell exclusively through a channel. So we don't do, it would be extremely rare that we are selling directly to an end user. And so, that's generally how we go to market. Now, we have a sales force, and we, that's global in nature. And then we do extensive marketing. Actually, this week itself, we're at, the largest trade show in the U.S., ISC West, where we're promoting our products and solutions. And so that's really, kind of how we go to market over there. On the industrial services side, a lot of it is relationship driven, and word of mouth and references. Some of it's bid work. So we do, bid on public jobs. And then we do have some small sales effort that we do as well. And some marketing that we do. So it's a combination of things.
Okay. I think you mentioned an acquisition. Is most of the stuff developed in-house, or are you out looking for acquisitions?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Semtrex has done a number of acquisitions over the last 10 years, and really the focus is on acquiring businesses that we think would be a good fit in our portfolio, that could be either bolt-on acquisitions or platforms that we see continued opportunity to grow over the long term. That would be cash flow positive and, present new opportunities for us. So, I'd say at any given point in time, we're looking at five or six different opportunities and, submitting LOIs or, negotiating different transactions. And, not every deal works out, but the ones that do, we can generally, we'll generally push forward and try to make it happen. So
will these be in the two verticals that you mentioned, or are you going to have others as well?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, primarily we're looking at the two verticals that were mentioned. It could be that we do find another platform that we see a long-term opportunity in and want to divert more investment into some new platform if we see long-term opportunity there. But primarily we have been looking more so in the two platforms that we already have.
And then how about capacity on each side as well?
There's definitely headroom on both. I mean, we can be, we at Vicon, we have tremendous opportunity to scale because we have a lot of partners that we work with from a manufacturing partner's perspective. So I don't see that as being a limiter for us. And similarly, on the industrial side, I mean, we're able to mobilize through, partners as well if we get very, very large projects. And so those things make a difference in terms of being able to scale, as and when those needs arise.
Okay. And so if we look at the revenue mix, it's fairly even now. If we had this call 3 years from now, expect it to still be even, or do you expect one to dwarf the other?
Yeah, I think it's hard to predict exactly what the split will be. From my perspective, AIS, for instance, grew or is expected to grow about 50% this year, largely due to acquisitions. I think the growth rate will probably be similar on average. I think they can grow 20% annually on average, but the growth on the AIS side will be much more inorganic, and the growth on the Vicon side will be much more organic. And so that's really the differentiator. But we think both businesses could grow at a pace of about 20% on average year over year for the next several years.
Okay. And also part of the growth, I think I read that you have a new product coming.
Yes. And that's on the Vicon side. That's right. So we launched a product called Anavio recently, which is our new unified security platform that's cloud-based. And so the enterprise security market is a unique market in that they can be a little bit slow to adopt novel technologies. And there's also just reasons, technical reasons, why they were a little bit late to the punch. But as you know, products like Nest and Ring have had a lot of uptake in the last several years. I'd say the enterprise market was a little bit slow to adopt cloud solutions, largely because if you have a lot of cameras, sending all that data and video to the cloud can be bandwidth intensive. So as well as the storage costs can be quite expensive. So there's been some new technical approaches in terms of how that's been addressed. And really, the time is right for cloud to overtake a large part of the market and create new opportunities for new solutions to overtake legacy solutions. And that's really the opportunity for us. If you look at the United States, 95% of the schools, for instance, have some kind of physical security solution, whether it's access control or security. But we're still plagued with the problem that schools are still struggling mightily to protect their premises, right? And so they need better and better solutions. And ultimately, being able to deploy a solution like Anavio can certainly advance their capabilities. We have some really great hardware attached to that platform. It's unified, it's simple, it's easy to use, it has a whole host of advanced features, and we're building out more and more features every day to provide more robust analytics capabilities and people tracking capabilities so that facilities have the latest and greatest tools to help protect their premises, help prevent events, security events from happening, and drive ultimately the best outcomes possible. So we're heavily focused on that. We think that's going to be a key driver of our growth for the next several years. And the unique opportunity about that as well is that that is a recurring revenue product. It is a SaaS model, and so it's going to give Vicon the opportunity to transform its business from being more perpetual licenses to recurring revenue license model. And we think that'll also give an opportunity for multiple expansion as we grow that part of our base of revenue and to have more sticky revenue from that perspective. So we see a lot of potential from that perspective.
Can you just give a little more color on your revenue models?
Yeah, so right now, Vicon, the way it sells is, I mean, it's similar to kind of how you might have bought Microsoft Office. 10 years ago, you were buying Microsoft Office license for, let's say, $125, and you would own that software for in perpetuity, right? And so you could use it for however long you used your device and so forth. You could reinstall it on a new machine or something with your license key. The new model obviously is that you pay Microsoft $20 a month or $30 a month, whatever it is, and you have access to the full suite of solutions, right? And then there's different tiers. So in a similar vein, Vicon for the last several years has been largely selling perpetual licenses along with its hardware. And so we see an opportunity to change that as we go forward from solution that's cloud-enabled, that allows us to provide regular updates and new features, In service of that, we would be charging customers a recurring licensing fee, either quarterly or annually or something like that.
And on the industrial side, is that a little bit more lumpy, or is there a service component?
So actually, so on the industrial side of our business, it's all service revenue, right? So we're basically providing industrial contracting services, and that's basically electrical work, piping work, rigging, millwriting, some of the services I mentioned before. And that's, I would say the business fluctuates a little bit. Some of it's project business and some of it's time and materials. Some years it's a 50-50 split, some it's a 60-40 in either direction. It really just depends on the portfolio that specific year. But I'd say on average, it's closer to about 50-50 split for that business.
Okay. And then how about gross margins on either side?
AIS last year did about 35, 36 million, 36% in gross margin. Vicon did close to 50%, I think it was 49% on a full year basis. So blended margin is range low 40, 43, 44%. And our hope and our goal is to continue to move that number higher. On the Vicon side, I think we have a clear path to doing that. On the AIS side, I think it's a little bit more ambiguous, but we do see some opportunity to do that. So, but I think, I think long term, Vicon gross margins will probably start to move above 50% over the next couple of years. AIS, we want to try to keep them above 35%. Some years that may be more challenging as we grow, but that is kind of where we think margins will stay for the foreseeable future. But I think over the long term too, there'll be maybe more opportunity to push that closer to 40%, maybe over like a 5-year horizon.
Okay. So as we monitor the company, what are some of the events or catalysts that we should look for over the next 12 months?
So I think from whether it's the other side, I mean, I think the key things that we're looking to do is continue to grow our business. I mean, we three of the last four quarters were profitable from an operating profit perspective. And so that's really a key motivator, key driver for us, is we want to get to an operating profit on a full year basis as soon as possible. We believe that we're on our way to do that. That's one of the key drivers just from our earnings perspective. And then, I think what's really gonna materialize from that or make that happen is more contract announcements. So we're gonna continue to, we regularly announce some of the more important projects that we're winning. So I think that plays a key role in our growth. That's something that, shareholders can look out for. We will be launching some more new products or providing updates on Anavio as we roll out new features that are novel. I think that's another key catalyst to look at. And then, of course, acquisitions. So I think there'll always be, a couple acquisitions to keep in mind that we may get done in any given year. And so that plays a big role in our growth as well. So I think, those probably are the key things to look out for.
So, is there a certain size where you start to get more leverage in the model?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, with Vicon, we were around break even, last year, maybe a little bit, we had a small operating loss. And I'd say that, we've modeled the business or we made a certain amount of investment in terms of the overall infrastructure of the business such that, we want to see that business grow from where it is today, 33, 34 million to 40 million, 50 million. And we think at those are in, and we think obviously 60 million and beyond, and I think the operating leverage really starts to materialize once you start getting closer to that 40 number and then beyond. So, we believe that the business could be doing 18%-20% operating margins as we get closer to 60 million in revenue. And I think that starts to make it a very attractive business from our perspective. And gives us more opportunity to scale from even beyond that, right? And similarly, I think with AIS too, there's a lot of opportunity to bolt on acquisitions without increasing our fixed costs dramatically. We see opportunity to do more and more of that. And I think the other challenge is, as a public company, it's not easy to be a small public company. And the bigger we get, the smaller our corporate expenses become relative to the size of our businesses. I think, relative to many public companies out there, we do operate pretty leanly, but unfortunately, even those costs do have a material impact right now on our overall operating income, right? And so that makes a big difference. But as we scale to, from $60 million to $100 million in sales, it becomes a smaller and smaller part of the puzzle, right? And that makes a big difference. So I think as we evolve over the next 3 to 5 years, I think those factors will play a big role in our overall profitability and the overall operating leverage that we gain as a result.
Makes sense. Is there something you wish I would have asked that I didn't ask? And also, what's the main takeaway that you want investors to leave with?
No, I think we covered the business at a high level, and we covered a lot of the key points. I don't think we missed anything. I think the key takeaway is, from my perspective, is just that I think people have to just recognize that it's a unique story. We're not a traditional sort of microcap or small cap business. We're very focused on growing in a profitable way, right? And we differ a lot from microcap companies in that we have $60 million in revenues. We're close to break even. And we have a lot of exciting opportunities in our portfolio that are very realistic and have a higher probability of happening. And I think it's just that many folks may have known us for many years ago, and so I'd encourage people to just take a fresh look at the whole story. And I think they'll be excited by what they see.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for sharing the story.
My pleasure. Thanks a lot.